Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, in his own blood, thank you, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, say the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Well, folks, what we're seeing in America today and on last week, everybody's seeing it because God has given us the technology to see it. God is doing some things in this world that we wouldn't be able to see 50 years ago. But everybody can see it today. In the beginning of the times of the end has begun. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ and his precious blood, as Peter would say, his precious blood, which washed us from our sins. Yeah. Father God, thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how we need it for such a time as this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. I was thinking last week when we were doing communion and the song was being sang, yeah, I know it was the blood. And I started thinking about the blood and the importance of the blood. The importance of the blood and what qualified Jesus' blood to be important. What caused it to be precious, as Peter said in 1 Peter 1:19, how we were saved, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and spot. So I looked at Revelation chapter 1 and I read a lot of it to really get to verse number 5. And I want to look at verse number 5, and then I just want to talk about the blood and what it has done for us. Thus, us that are saved, us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, us that would call ourselves born again. Okay? Us that know our sins have been forgiven, and our sins that we will commit in the future have been forgiven. I was talking to Wednesday night Bible study. I've heard preachers, if you've been around the church, especially the African American church, you heard preachers say, you gotta have your ticket. You gotta have your ticket. To get to heaven, you gotta have a ticket. And they would use a passport. You wanna go to another country, you need a passport. And that passport has to be stamped. Okay? Just can't have a passport. They want to see the stamp. Okay? So In order to get to heaven, a person has to have a passport or a ticket. And it needs to be what? Stamped. How? In the blood. In the blood of Christ. And when we look at our lesson today, and especially in verse number 5, I'm going to read it out of Revelation. I want to talk about Jesus and what the blood has done. And you need to know. And for a lot of us, it should be confirmation. This happened to me. This is in this God's blood has the ability to do these things. But in verse number 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ. And it talks about Jesus Christ. It talks about his, dare I say, credentials. Who is a faithful witness. That's the first thing he says about him. He's a faithful witness. And the first begotten of the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth. It says, unto him, still in verse 5, that loved us. Somebody said, well, you knew he was going to get that in there. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all throughout the Word of God. You just can't go to any book of the Bible and not find references to what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to die for our sins. And for him to do that, he had to be qualified. And God qualified him. He was God in the flesh.
Amen.
He was God in the flesh. Listen, he's under him that loved us. Look what he did. And washed us from our sins. In his own blood. And I missed that. And I'm glad you guys caught it. I missed that. In his own blood. Why is that? Because any blood wouldn't do.
Amen.
Any blood wouldn't do. And I hear people say, well, you know, if dying on the cross all it took, anybody could have done it. That's a lie.
Amen.
That's a lie from the pits of hell.
Amen.
That's a lie from the pits of hell. John, in the book of John, chapter 1, here's John. And this is what the Lord said about John. Of men born of women, the none. Greater than John the Baptist. It says John, and John was baptized, folks. And it says in verse 29, and it says on the next day, John chapter 1, and on the next day, John seeth Jesus coming. He saw Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And everybody want to know what lambs were, a sacrificial animal. Behold the Lamb of God. What did he come to do? Which taketh away the sins of the world. Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 1, we see a reference to his coming. In Matthew chapter 1, I have wrote it down. I'm going to find it. You just hang in there with me. Matthew chapter 1, I believe in verse 20. He's the angel's talking to Joseph, I believe. He's talking to Joseph. It is verse 20. He's talking to Joseph, and he says, but while he thought on these things, it's 21. But I'm gonna read 20 now that I'm there, because Joseph was gonna put Mary away. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I didn't have to explain this to him, but he did, because God is God of grace.
Amen.
And he says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I listened and I listened to Claire praying this morning, and folks, well, listen, we need a Savior.
Amen.
We need a Savior that has the power to save us from our sin. And you know what? That's only going to be found in Jesus. That's only going to be found in Jesus. And the text says these things about Jesus. And I'm going to talk about some other things. But he said he was a faithful witness. He was a faithful witness. And it didn't matter. He knew he was going to die because of his witness. Because of his testimony. Okay? His testimony was one that was going to cause him pain. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul's telling Timothy about Jesus. And he's telling Timothy to model Jesus. And he's telling Timothy, when you model Jesus, it's going to hurt. It's going to cause you problems. Anybody in here that's modeling Jesus is going to have issues. It just comes with the territory. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:13, he said, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. What was his confession? That I came to die. Okay? I came to die, Pilate. I don't have a kingdom of this world. If I did, it would fight for me. But my kingdom is from above. I came to die and to take my people with me. Look at the second thing it says about Jesus Christ and his credentials. The first begotten of the dead. Somebody say, what's that mean? He was the first one to die and to be raised, never to die again. He was the first begotten from the dead. So, well, Lazarus was raised from the grave. Yes, we know Lazarus was raised from the grave. Jairus' daughter was raised from the grave. The man in the casket was coming up to the funeral was raised from the grave. But guess what they all had in common? They all died again. They all died again. But you know what? Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. You know what else he is? The Bible says he's the head of the church. He's the head of the church. But, well, you passed. No. He's the head of the church.
Amen.
Okay? He's not only the head of the church. I hear somebody say about the guy in Korea and the guy in the White House now and the guy in the White House before and all the governors and all those folks in authority. Guess what? He's the head of them.
Amen.
They may not recognize it now, but they will recognize it one day. Because he's the prince of the kings, all the rulers that ever ruled. He was in charge.
Amen.
So I say he was large and in charge. He was the king of all earthly rulers. The prince of the kings.
Yes.
The prince of the kings. And that's why a lot of the mess you see when you have a world that thinks like Psalms 14. You know, in our country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty. Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you can look at the weather, and you can look what's happening in Houston, and look what's happening in Florida, and look what's happening all over the world. Earthquake in Mexico, 8.1. And folks are saying, well, it's climate control, and it's this, and it's that, and it's conspiracy theory, and they shoot rockets up, and people with cars and driving too many trucks. Let me tell you something. I remember Jesus told them disciples, you know, go on, even both go on the other side. And they got in the middle of the lake or wherever they was at, and a storm came. And they thought they was going to die. They seen Jesus. They told Jesus, wake up, we're going to die.
Uh-huh.
And he told the wind to stop and the rain to stop and everything stopped. And then they looking around, they says, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? Oh, we don't want to see that, dog. We just like, oh, that, you know, people are doing too much, you know, and climate control. You can go green all you want. When God moves, he's going to move. And I like what I heard. You know what? God will use storms to get our attention.
Amen.
Sometimes we need a storm. Sometimes a storm is to save our souls.
Amen.
We need a storm. We don't want no storm. We don't want no rain. We don't want no wind, no rain, or anything. You know what? The farmers had a wonderful crop this year, tomatoes and cucumbers and all that. I mean, I talked to the Amish, they came out and they said we had a wonderful year. We had a wonderful year. And I asked him, I said, I just preached on the parable of the rich fools. I said, did y'all thank the Lord? He said, we thank the Lord all the time.
Amen.
We thank the Lord all the time. Look at the third part of it. We talk about he's a faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the kings. But the next part sort of takes us into a different subject. Oh yeah, it's John 3:16. It says, unto him that loved us. How much did he love us? How much did he love us? We throw that word around so much. We throw that word around so much until somebody asks us to do something that goes beyond our love. And then we get our lips are poked out and we get upset because somebody's asked us to do something that's uncomfortable. Well, dying is uncomfortable. Okay? You know, especially when the folks putting you to death, you created. You made the trees they made the wood out of for the cross. And the same folks that you created, and the tree you created, and the nails you created, they're using to kill you. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Unto him that loved us.
Amen.
What did his dying do? That's a good question. Then people ask, well, what does Christ dying do? What's so significant about him dying? It's everything. I love when you guys say that. It's everything.
Amen.
You know, the songwriter would say back in the day, he said, what was more important, him being born or him dying? Him dying. Him dying. Because if he had not died, we would still be lost in our sins. Paul understood the importance of him dying. Paul said this in Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. There's our word. Who loved me. How much did he love me? He and gave himself for me.
Amen.
For me. Paul said for me. Singular. For me. Did he die for you? See, that's the question. Did he die for you? Somebody said, well, you know, right now, I'm doing pretty good. He did, you know, I can pick up that later. Right now, I'm all right. No, did he die for you today? The book of John, 1 John rather, John is talking to the church that was really struggling with Gnosticism and struggling with all the false teachings. And they would tell him, Jesus didn't die for you. Jesus didn't exist. He was just a spirit. And he never, when he was on the cross, he swooned off of it. And John, the old aged apostle, had to go there and get them folks right.
Amen.
He had to get them right. And in John, 1 John 1 and 7, this is interesting. He says this. In verse number 5, he said, and this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. And in him there is no darkness. Now watch this. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How about that? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Here's the important part here. In the blood of Jesus. Excuse me. In the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Now.
Amen.
Cleanses. Present tense. That means it's happening right now. It's going to be happening tomorrow. For the believer, God is constantly doing what? Cleansing us.
Amen.
Well, maybe I'm not going to sin this week. Yes, you are. There's nobody in here going to tell me, well, you know what? I don't need a cleansing this week because I'm not going to sin this week. Yes, you are. Yeah, you are. You're going to sin this week. Okay? You're going to sin this week. Listen. I'm ahead of my lesson. But here's what David said. Now David, this is the great psalmist David. David said this in Psalm 130. I thought this was interesting. It's just came to me, and I bought these verses in scripture. He says, out of the depths, I have cried unto thee. Anybody ever been there? You need to get there. You need to get there. I mean, you know, you're going through. Out of the depths I have cried unto you. Cry me that I have prayed unto you. I've called out your name. Jesus, help me. I'm going through. I can't deal with this myself. It's too big. Oh, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. How about that? Hear my prayers. I need you. Here's David, King David. This is when he's on the rebound. He's recovered. He still knows he needs God because he still knows. Well, let David say this. Look what he said. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Let me read that again. You know, me getting into a world, okay, I'm all that. No, you're not. No, none of us are. Okay? And if God was to pull back the sheets, pull back the curtains of our lives and our thoughts, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, all caps, all knowing God, omniscient, O Lord, who shall stand? None of us. But watch this now. You want to know why God died? He was like, well, why did God die on the cross? Why was it necessary? Listen, he died to forgive us of our sins.
Amen.
That's it. Listen. But there is forgiveness with thee. Let me say that again. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There's forgiveness. When you think about Calvary, when you think about Jesus dying on the cross, think about the fact that he died to forgive us of our sins. Let me share this. How many know the blessings of forgiveness? How many think like that? How many have a biblical mindset? Okay? The blessings of forgiveness. Anybody ever thought like that? You know, God has blessed me. People sit here and talk about, I'm blessed, and highly favored, too blessed to be stressed. And, you know, but have you ever thought about the blessings of forgiveness? The fact that God forgave you is the greatest blessing of all. Next time somebody says, I'm blessed. All right. Come on, you know, question them because you're going to help them.
Amen.
Blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Listen. Turn with me to Romans 3. I got more to say about forgiveness because this is important. Romans chapter 3. And we're all familiar with Romans chapter 3. And when you read it, you're going to be familiar with it. It's talking about the blessings of forgiveness. Now, if you don't understand this, then you need to really do like David do. Cry out, Lord, hear my prayers. I need to be forgiven. Okay? Why? Verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned. Okay? All. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God saved us to give him glory. And even after we are saved, we still fall short. Okay? Being justified freely by his grace. And what is grace? His unmerited favor. God giving us what we don't deserve. And none of us can sit here and say, I deserved to be saved. Okay? See, and that's what the word justified means. Being justified. Being made justified as if I have never sinned. That's what God done for us. That's the blessing of forgiveness.
Amen.
Okay? Being justified, how? Freely. How? By His grace, not our grace. No grace in us. Okay? By His grace. For by grace are you saved. Through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God and you struggle with it. You know, grace can't come from you. It has to come from an outside source. There's no good in us. And if there's going to be some good place in us, it's not going to start from in us. It's coming from an outside source. And you got to cry out to that outside source. Lord, I need you. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Because what you're asking me to do is not in me to do. But give me the grace to do it. Watch this now. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. Salvation. Redeemed. That's not in us. We're unredeemed. Christ redeems us. He saves us. How? By the blood of Christ. By Christ dying on Calvary. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now Christ is in front. So I told you last week, it's not the last name. Now it says in Christ Jesus, in the Messiah, the coming Messiah that the Old Testament prophesies was coming. And there's where we find redemption. Whew. Verse 25. Stay with me, people. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, how? In his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Let me tell you something, folks. The blood forgives us, redeems us, and we know for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. How many know the first murder that was recorded in the Bible was over religious stuff? Seriously, it was. It was over the issue of blood. The first murder in the Bible. Okay? The first crime of murder ever committed was over the blood. Cain didn't think it was necessary. And some folks may still think that today. We got a whole lot of Cains out here. But Cain said, listen, I can work my way to heaven. Look at my hands done. Look at the beautiful flowers and all these apples and oranges and fruit baskets. You know, they got the fruit place out there that desire fruit, you know, and, you know. That's Cain. God said, I need a blood sacrifice. Cain, like your brother Abel gave me. That lamb that he cherished and raised and fed, I need some bloodshed. And Cain didn't want to go by those requirements, and he slew his brother. We know that. Listen, let me give you another verse, please. Ephesians 1. Paul's talking about the necessity of the blood. And I'm going to stay on the blood rest of the sermon. Paul says this, whom, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me break that verse down. We know who by whom we are. Those are who believe. Okay? When you see, it says, in whom we have, it says, those who believe. If you don't believe, you don't have this. Okay? How do you have it? Or when do you get it? The moment we believe, we have redemption.
Amen.
The moment we believe, we have redemption. And what is redemption? Keep saying that word, Pastor. What is redemption? Redemption is redeemed from what? From guiltiness and the power of sin. How many know sin has power? How many know sin is powerful? Oh my goodness. We all know. We can put both hands up. We all know how powerful sin is. And you know the only way you're ever going to break it? Through the blood. You ain't bringing it on your own. You're not going to stop sinning on your own.
Amen.
Somebody say you're not even going to want to. Absolutely. It's only through his blood. Somebody said there's in the Bible, there's like 446 references to sin. And then there's like 500 references to blood. So the old preacher was saying, there's a whole lot more references to blood than sin. So we got enough verses in the Bible to cover all the sins. Got plenty of blood in the Bible. Matter of fact, somebody said the Bible is a bloody book. It is a bloody book. It is a bloody book. We were talking about it this morning. In the circumcision, we were talking about Moses, and he didn't want to circumcise his son, and his wife had to do it, and she took it and threw it at him. It's a bloody book. It's a bloody book. Oh, you know, we like it clean. We like it nice. Oh, man, you know, that's some hard stuff all the time, preaching all that all the time. Preach some nice stuff. It's a bloody book. It's a war. This is a war we got going on. And we don't like to think about it. It's a war we in. We in a war. Church in a war. Yeah. I said it months and months ago. You know, somebody going on a cruise ship. No. It's a battleship. Uh-huh. It's a battleship. Yeah. And I can hear it. I can hear it in your singing. I can hear it in your praying. I can hear it in your testimonies and different things. Folks going through. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes. I think we really living out a lot of biblical truths. Trying to do what's right ain't always easy.
Amen. Amen.
Forgiveness is hard. Yes. Loving is hard. That's why Paul in prison, and he writing to the Ephesian church, he said, I, Paul, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to what? To walk worthy. How? In all lowliness and meekness and forbearing love. And that word forbearing love being tough. It's tough to love. Amen. Everybody ain't easy to love. Paul said we got to have the right stuff. And it's not easy. Because pride do get in the way. Some but think we beyond rebuke. We not accountable to nobody. Uh-huh. And it makes things difficult. And Paul knew that because he said it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. You try to do what's right in a fallen world. He said many are the afflictions of the righteous. And all who desire them godly in Christ shall suffer. We suffer. You right. When you look at your pastor, this is suffering business. Yes, yes. This ain't nothing glorifying being a pastor. When you walking around like I'm a pastor and you all that and a bag of chips. No, you're a sufferer. And you follow a suffering God. And it says he was a man of sorrows. This is the leader of the church. He's a man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief. And we look at the church today, we would think he was a celebrity. Amen. Acquainted with just frivolous stuff. It's not a game. You sign up for this. That's why the word of God said, if any man desire to be a pastor, a bishop, or an elder, he desire a good word. Not a good game. Amen. This is laborious. This is hard. Hard on your family. Hard on your children. Ah. It just is. And folks say, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. Listen. Let me share this. I'm in a sharing mood today. Let me turn to Acts. We've been on this verse, Acts 20. And here's Paul. Here's Paul. Paul understood the blood of Christ. And the church ought to be filled with bloody folks. Okay? Know why I say that? Because, see, church folks have been purchased by the blood. By the blood, Paul said this. I'm gonna read a little bit of this. Verse 19. I'm in Acts 20 and 19. I just want to read some of this. And I don't. It's a lot of Bible reading. Amen. Folks don't read their Bibles. You know, some of y'all need to read your Bibles more. Then when the pastor read long scriptures, it won't be so painful. Okay? Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Here's Paul. And temptations which befell me by the lying away the Jews. Paul went through. Paul was going through. Paul struggled with his ministry. You know, you hear a lot of preachers don't even preach Paul's stuff. They don't like Paul. They know Paul's a misogynist. He didn't like women preachers and all that. And they leave Paul alone. But how can you preach the New Testament without preaching Paul? He wrote all of it just about. And he wrote from his heart, and he says this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Paul preaching was teaching. He said, I taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, but testifying what? Repentance. Turning toward God. Well, if you turn toward God, you got to turn away from something else. Amen. Okay? Yeah, preacher, that's turn or burn. You're gonna serve God, you can't serve God, you got to turn. And I'm not talking about 360, 180. You got to turn. That's what Paul says. Teaching repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it gets interesting. Verse 22. And now behold, pay attention now. And now behold, here's how he's getting ready to go traveling. I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. Bound in the spirit. Bound in the spirit. He's spirit controlled. The man and woman of God that's serving God, that has turned toward God, that has repented from their sins, is bound in the Spirit. Paul said, I was bound in the Spirit. Amen. Bound in the Spirit. I mean, controlled by the Spirit. Uh-huh. Not knowing the things which shall befall me there. It didn't matter. He was bound in the Spirit. But for me to live as Christ and die again, it really didn't make no difference. As long as I was serving God, it didn't matter what happened to me. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul was filled with it. That's what y'all see. Watch this now. One of my great verses in the Bible. Great verse in the Bible. Paul says this. Bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul was surrounded by, filled with it. People was stoning him, beating him. They took a fast. They wanted to kill him. Shipwrecks, snakes. I mean, it didn't even matter to Paul. Didn't matter to Paul. Because he knew serving God wasn't ever going to be easy. Amen. And this is what we have the problem here. We look around and they get hard. Serving God get hard. And folk just bail out. Uh-huh. Just bail out. Because it get hard. Mm. Hearing the word of God, hearing, being confronted, being challenged. That's too hard. That's too much. Too many rules, too many regulations. And this is just the word of God. Just the word of God. I'm going to go to a church where there ain't so many. We have fun over there. You getting on everybody. The word of God. I'm just preaching the word.
Amen.
Watch this. People just, I don't know how you do it. Let me tell you something. I say like Paul says. But none of these things move me. Okay? Neither count I my life dear unto me or myself, so that I might finish my course how with joy. And that's not outward joy. That's inward joy. You know you're doing the right thing. And I heard Chris say, right is always right, whether anybody's doing it or not. It's always right. Right is always right. Your right hand is always going to be your right hand. Your left hand is always going to be your left hand. You can't sit here and say, this is my left hand. No, it's your right hand. Well, I want it to be my left hand. You may want it to be your left hand, but it's still your right hand. Stay there, Paul. He says, I will finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of grace of God. What is the gospel of the grace of God? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. That's all Paul preached. For by grace are you saved. You'll read it all through the Bible. For by grace are you saved. Whose grace? God's grace.
Amen.
And now behold. Verse 25. And now behold. I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. I read all that to get to this verse. Feel like Wednesday night, don't it? I read all that to get to this verse because see, here's the important thing. Paul says this: take heed therefore unto yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock. That's what we are, a church. We are a flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. And let me tell you something, there's a lot more overseers than here to me. Okay? Here's the job of the overseers. It's not to entertain you. The job of the overseer, the job of the pastor, the job of the preacher is to feed the church of God.
Amen.
You know, and it's just, sometimes it's just to me how people just blow off church. Uh-huh. People just blow off church. We stand and we do a responsive read. Don't even pick up a Bible. Just stand there. Just rebellious. Uh-huh. Arms folded up. Just like, get it over with. I'm not going to church first Sunday because they're going to be having communion. And don't want to be doing that. Uh-huh. And we just blow off the church. And then we think, well, you know what? This is not a lot of people came out. You know, that ain't always a bad thing. I know we want to. Ooh, Charles, man, we want it like Ohio State football stadium last night. We want a record crowd, 106,000 people. All left disappointed. And we can fill this church up, and you know what, folks, leave up out of here disappointed.
Amen.
Disappointed, upset. Why? Because if the man of God was doing the right thing, you know, it ain't real popular, folks.
Amen.
This is what he says. The job of the pastor, to feed the church of God. Uh-huh. Now sit here and watch my little granddaughter. She don't want to eat all the time. Here's the biggest problem we have with her now. She don't want to eat. Eat what she want to eat. And it's sort of like the church. I look at it and say, you like a little church. You don't want to eat. You want to eat when you want to eat. And that's how we are. We come to church and we don't want to be fed. We don't want to be fed. Oh, watching the watches. My goodness, it's only 12:35. Listen, to feed the church which he had purchased with his blood. That ought to mean something to anybody in here that's bloodbought. That ought to mean something. That when you say the church is purchased with his blood, who are you talking about? This building? No. The body of the church. People. You were bought with a price. The price was Calvary. God died for you to go to heaven with him, never to die again.
Amen.
That's what he died for.
Amen.
So what does Paul say? Feed them. Feed them what? Feed them what? Well, Paul, what did you tell Timothy? I know where I'm going. He said, Timothy. He said, Timothy, preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. They ain't gonna always like it. They ain't gonna be mad. That's gonna be poked out. They don't want to hear it.
Uh-huh.
But they need to eat their vegetables.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Listen, I charge thee before God, Timothy. Here's what you feed the church. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And you know what to do? Cleans up the preachers too.
Amen. Amen.
Keep the preachers clean. Keep the preachers clean. Why is it so important? Because folks ain't gonna want to hear. You know, we ought to have joy when we come to God's house. It ought to be a joyful time. Now I could go to Psalms 122, and David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" But you know what? There's other verses that really speak to me about this. Now I was looking at Psalms 42 and 55. Let me just read them for you. Psalms 42, because it ought to be a joy. Even if you don't see a whole lot of cars out here, you still should come strutting up in here like, man, this is good to be in God's house.
Amen.
It's good to be among the saints. Okay? It's good to be in God's house. Look at Psalms 42. I'm going to read 1 through 4. Psalms. Yeah, I'm going to read it anyway. Get that over there hollering. It says, as the heart, that's a deer, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's how we ought to feel. If we have the Spirit of God in us, that's how we ought to feel. Amen. That's why it should be sweet to come to Bible study, to come to Sunday school, to come to Wednesday night, to come to God's house. You know, you ought to have your favorite radio station, 1440, 103. Whoever you want to listen to, somebody that really speaks to you, that you can really relate to. Find out when they on and make a beeline to it. We know when Law and Order is on. I mean, we know when our favorite TV shows is on and our series, and we just watching. You know, there's ought to be a time where we just say, you know what? Whoever, David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, whoever, find out where they are. You got these little phones now. You can put your little favorite preacher on. Get you some word. Get you some word. Why? Because the man of God, the woman of God that's truly saved is in verse 2. And this has to be in you. My soul thirsts for God. And that's in the present tense again. Thirsting for God continually. Amen. Continually. All the time. The man or woman of God who's truly saved has a soul that thirsts for God. I'm going to help somebody. For the living God. And when shall I come and appear before God? You're going to appear before God. You're going to appear before God. And he's going to want to see the fact that you've been in a relationship with him. Look at verse 3. I'm trying to get to verse 4. He said, my tears have been meet day and night while they continue to say to me, where is thy God? Here's a seeker. Here's someone that's looking for God. Just crying out to God, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Why? Why did you go to them to the house of God? I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. How many of your friends keep the holy day? How many of your friends keep the holy day? I know I'm getting long. Well, I can give you Psalm 55 and I'm gonna let you go. They speak to me. Now I'm preaching myself today. Psalm 55. Bigger podium up here. Psalm 55 and 14. Look at Psalm 55 and 14. Think about this now. May go back a little bit. But look at what it says. We took sweet counsel together. Folks that love the Lord. Love to hear each other sing. Love to hear each other pray. We hear the babies crying and running. And you know, this is our family. Somebody said, you just setting it up because you know yours going to be here in a little while. But that's all good. But Psalm 55, 14, listen, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God. How? In company. In company. It's a blessing to be in God's house. It's a blessing to be in God's house. You know, people sit there and talk about it all they want, but it's good to be in God's house. David said, I was glad. I was happy when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Why did David say that? Because David knew the power of love. He knew the power of God's grace and mercy because he got it. And he didn't deserve it. And none of us do. David should have been dead. David should have been dead. When David sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband and lied about it, David should have died. He should have died. But you know what? You know what God did for him? And I said this before, so y'all just hold on. What happened in David's life was a picture of Jesus Christ on Calvary, John 3:16. You know why? You know how David was saved? God killed his son. God said, David, you won't die, but your son will. He said, David, you won't die, but your son will. How about that? And the son died. And David was spared. And you know what David said? He can't come to me, but I can go to him. And that's the same message of Calvary right now. God sent his son to die for us so that we could be with him in heaven and glory one day.
Amen.
Folks, listen. This ain't a game. This is serious business. Serious business. This is not a game. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. I thank you for the baby just screaming this morning, crying out to you.